morning, boys. How the devil are you? How's your week been?
Well, very good, Tiz. Just back from Tenerife on Monday night. Tuesday morning, got in. It was absolutely wonderful. Doing the Where's Jet podcast on my balcony, which was absolutely terrific. Sunshine was great. What the hell has happened? The weather here is absolutely bleep. Oh, my goodness.
When did you get back, Chaz?
Yeah, I got back from La Manga, and everything seemed okay. And then I just realised I've got to do, after 2 days, I've got to go and have a swab test. All I can say is, thank goodness, I don't have the same size of hooter as you and Tomo.
It's, tell you, I've told you, it's not a problem. You just get extra large ones, and it comes, it's like a mop. And it's quite easy.
Oh, dear. It's been an interesting week. Great start to the Premier League season, I have to say. Oh, I actually had a nice evening last night, almost like a proper normal evening, at the Franny Benali book launch. He's done his autobiography, and so he launched that last night. I've got a few mentions in the book, and I wrote the foreword. But it's a very good read for anyone who's interested in not just Franny's football career, but those challenges that he took on were just incredible.
Yeah.
And some of the stories from those challenges are definitely worth reading about, I can assure you. So that was good fun.
Before you go on, Franny Benali, two completely different people on the football pitch. An absolute maniac on the football pitch. Put himself about, kicked everybody all over the place, and then lo and behold, what a nicest fella you couldn't wish to meet. So indeed. It will be a good read.
It will indeed. It will indeed. So how did we think the Premier League season started with Friday night's game, Charlie? I think we need to come to you first. What did you make of the Arsenal performance on Friday night?
No, I can't have it anymore. I mean, I'm beyond the moment of anger. But I did say that I fancied Brentford to stay up. I know it's a long way to go because they're a great little passing side with a clever coach. Arsenal has completely and utterly lost its way as a football club. 10 years ago or so, we were the guys who were changing the game with David Dean and Arsene Wenger. Signing top players from nowhere, making them superstars. Now we're relying on kids. We don't know what the illness is to the two main players. Our signings are all over the place. We are now dictated by a franchise in America and also controlled by agents who are telling the club who to sign, when to sign, how much to sign for. It's an absolute shambles. And if they don't get this right, this crowd are going to be not all over just Arteta, they're going to be all over the American owners. They have put in money, I'll give them that. But why do they need Odegaard? Why do they need more strikers? Everything they should be getting is about building from the back, which has been problematic for 7 years. This club is losing its soul.
Charlie, have you got anything else to say about
it? Had you been rehearsing that all weekend, Jazz?
Oh, I've been brewing up since I went to the pub on Saturday morning, and I thought, I've got to get this out of my system. Tomo and Tiz are getting it on the Where's Jeff podcast.
Oh, my God. Well, I know, Tiz, I was the only one who had a decent weekend. But, Charlie, before we go on, I know it was an absolute shambles. And I agree with you. And we spoke about where... I know Spurs ended up having a good result. But we said whereabouts Spurs and Arsenal are. As you just said, they are one of the great clubs battling for the signings of the best players in this country. And you just wonder where it's all gone and where it's all going to end. And that is the thing, not being even maybe challenging for the top six.
But guys, I mean, look, we used to always do the gig and a Saturday. This is when Soccer Saturday was a good show. And we used to always have this debate that Arsenal have been building for 5-6 years. But it's 5 or 6 years later, we're actually getting worse. And we're actually spending more money to make it look worse. Everybody had a go at Wenger. And I don't know if you two guys will remember this, but it was about 3 or 4 years ago, and I said, Wenger had overstayed his welcome for 2 years probably as a manager because he wasn't fixing the problems. And he was spending money on people like Mustafi, Socrates, and it was just, it wasn't working. But what I said back then was, why not, if you're getting, say, someone like Arteta, go and get Arsene Wenger back to the football club to help him oversee the rebuilding of this club. He's not in a job. He's an Arsenal fan. It's an absolute disgrace that they haven't even approached him to at least give us a knockback. It's shambolic. And it really is painful.
I appreciate your passion, Charlie, but I think it's only fair that we give credit where credit is due, because I thought Brentford were well worth the 3 points on Friday night. I thought it was an excellent performance from them. I know you mentioned them being a passing team, Charlie, but I think they changed their tactics a little bit on Friday night and beat Arsenal up a little bit from what I saw. And I was really impressed. And I think me and Tom have both tipped them to go down. But after one game, I was like, maybe I was wrong. that was very impressive Friday night.
They're not going to play a dishevelled Arsenal side all the time, Tizen. You just hit it there. And the big thing is, and that's why we all said last week, you do not want to really play one of the teams who've just come up, because it can be hard. That early momentum that they have, there's nothing, that everybody's on a level playing field. They're going to come out and they're going to absolutely batter into you. Arsenal didn't even seem to adhere to all those rules and be ready to fight the cause. And they laid down. That was the shocking thing about it. And you've gone, nah.
Yeah, but if you remember, Tom, a couple of years back, we, in the hotel we used to stay in London, we bumped into Thomas Franks a few times, and we actually didn't realise he was the manager at the time. We thought he was a musician because he's long locks and he looked a different part. But I remember we went into the car together, heading back to the airport, and he said, "Who was that guy again?" And I said, "That's the Brentford manager who's taken over from Dean Smith." But yeah, guys, he's a bang on. Brentford were absolutely excellent, and I know Arsenal were a soft touch, but their football and their discipline was absolutely first class. Well done, Brentford.
But Charlie, yeah, can I just say, Tiz, before we even move on, what did you think about the second goal? The arm wrestling with the goalkeeper. Now, listen, I know what you can't do that. We've seen Burnley and Ashley Barnes stand in front of a goalkeeper. That maybe is all right, but you can't have somebody in an arm lock and stop them going for the ball. And I listen to Dermot, and I've gone, I can't believe it. And he's gone, oh no, well you'd say if we give it, if we go again, you'll say, oh, protecting goalkeepers again. You can't hold down a goalkeeper with an arm. And Sue and Stephen Warnock agreed. And they went, the goalkeeper's got to be a bit stronger. And I'm going, have you seen this? If that took place on the 6 yard box with one player holding another one down, it'd be a foul all day long. But doing it to a goalkeeper is completely against the rules of play. And you know, I was thinking, have I got this wrong? Am I witnessing? Just trying to give you a little bit of solace here, Charlie. But I thought it was.
Well, thanks very much, mate. But we don't deserve it, so we'll just move on.
No, but that's beside the point.
Exactly, they still would have lost.
But guys, before we go on to the games, what did you think about the VAR and the way the weekend went? Because I thought it was a terrific weekend where they got a lot of things right. It flowed a lot better. Nothing too much to really complain about. Have we learned something from the Euros, which you thought was spectacular in the officiating? And I just thought, have we learned something? Why didn't we learn this before?
Yeah, it's a good point, Tomo. I thought for the most part, VAR was very good this weekend. I think the couple of instances, one where you spoke about the goalkeeper there, I think there was another one with the James Tarkowski goal where he kind of just shoved Mopé to the ground before he headed him. I thought that was going to get disallowed, to be honest. I thought that was a foul. And the other one for me was the West Ham penalty at Newcastle. You know, I thought that was a really, really soft decision. And I think if Martin Atkinson had gone to the monitor at the side there, I think he would have changed his mind. Yeah. But the VAR didn't ask him to go and look at it, which I thought was a bit odd. So I thought that those incidents, and they were and we're being a bit picky. It was great the Fernandez goal got allowed, even though the offside exactly. was really tight. I think that's one of the pluses of what was going on. And I think there was a lot of good stuff. So the West Ham first goal, the Cresswell goal, was sorted out by VAR. You know, if you didn't have VAR there, that goal was disallowed because the linesman put his flag up. And yet in the space of a few seconds, they'd had a look at it and gone, bang, no, it's absolutely spot on. It's a goal and that's the way it should be. And that's VAR working as it should do. And I thought for the majority of the weekend, yeah. I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, totally agree.
I remember when we went to see the original, when they were breaking it down for us. And I think you were the strongest supporter of VAR at the time, Tiz. And you kind of convinced me it was the right way to go. I'm all for a bit of modernism and bringing it in. But you have to use some common sense into the bargaining tools. And I think you touched on the incidents that use common sense there. And I think gradually we're getting that. But Tomo, I think you've hit it right on the button there. The Euros, they've learned a great deal. They've started to understand that common sense must work in the principles of the game. So, very good start.
And I've got to say, I saw one of the best advantages I've ever seen at the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And it shocked me because of who it came from, because I don't think it's fair to say we've never been his biggest fan
was
as
it
a referee.
The Watford one? Was
yeah, Mike Dean at Watford. Not just the one foul, two fouls, which he let go and he let the play go on, and Hernandez cuts in from the left-hand side, curls it in the bottom corner. Magnificent goal. But, I mean, I've given referees enough stick down the years. I have to say, Mike Dean, magnificent piece of refereeing.
Yeah, but tis, when he ran away after the goal and he was going like that, and he was going on his back like that, and he was patting himself there, that was a bit much.
I've never ever heard those words before. Magnificent play by Mike Dean. I've never heard that before.
I know. I never thought I'd hear myself saying it, Charlie, but you have to give credit where credit is due.
Absolutely.
It was a brilliant, brilliant piece of refereeing.
But how good was the player when he was falling over and he still managed to pass it? He could quite easily have blown. And it was a great ball as well, which kept the move flowing. So
It was.
Fair
excellent.
Play. But as you said,
we'll come to that game.
It was just a Tarkowski steamroller. I couldn't get my head round either. Well, let's move on.
Yeah, strange one. Okay, so Man United, lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. Fantastic win over Leeds United. What did you make of them, Tomo?
I just thought it was, yes, we knew what Manchester United were going to be about. Yes, we thought there was going to be goals in this game. Have Leeds learnt anything? No, Leeds haven't. Manchester United, absolutely bang on the money. We spoke about Fernandes having a poor Euros. Maybe he's had a good rest with them not sort of progressing too far, but he was back on form. But Paul Pogba, I've got to say, is it, you know, you got four assists. It was just quite extraordinary, his passing range. He seems to be enjoying his game, as he already made his mind up, and that's why this is going to be a sort of a carnival of a season for him, and he's just going to enjoy himself because he is going. It will be a big blow, because if he plays like that most weeks, my goodness, he'll be a big loss.
I think looking at the way they turned it around within like, 10-minute period of the game overall, when they just took control of it. I just wonder sometimes, though, when we mentioned last week about Bruno Fernandes, it seems to be when he's the star turn at Manchester United, he thrives on that. Whereas we touched on, I know you mentioned it again there, Tomo, but in the Euros, he was at the top, man. He looked as if he was a little bit, you know, underwhelming, and he wasn't quite sure. But if he plays that role, Manchester United definitely get goals from him. It's the pace. And Greenwood coming off the bench and getting the goal is another one that you add to the mix. So if they get their defence right, they are right in the frame.
Well, as you say, Sancho to come in, Varane to come in. It can only make them stronger, but I think he's got a way of playing now. They certainly can turn defence into attack as good as anybody. And I think that's the worrying thing for all of us, is that, you know, are they getting back on track? It is only one game, but it was quite impressive.
it was impressive, and as you say, with a two or three players there who probably still to come into that team to make it even stronger. I know I tweeted on Saturday that I wasn't at all worried that Saints are playing Man United this weekend.
It's
going to be a tough start for us, boys. It's going to be a tough start, but no, very impressive. Leeds, Tomo, you mentioned it there. Have they learned anything? I thought, actually, that they came out the second half. I mean, Ayling's goal was an absolute cracker.
Yeah.
Goal of the week contender for sure. But you're right. They did seem to fold pretty quickly in that 10-minute period there. But I still think that they've got plenty of quality in that squad to make sure they're not going to be in any danger this season. That's for sure.
Yeah, but they have to learn. I don't think they can keep going on. They had a fantastic season last year, but you keep losing games. You keep losing goals the way it is, and I know they can score goals as well. But you get into that slide and you just can't get the results to get out of it. And because Leeds, the Premier League is better with Leeds United being in it, but they have to learn. You know, we've said this about other teams before. Fulham, when they came up, scored a million goals and Norwich scored a million goals in the Championship. Doesn't always stack up, and they've had a great season back in there. Hopefully they don't have a poor season.
Absolutely. So there were some very good results for teams that came up. We mentioned Brentford already. The other one was Watford with a pretty impressive 3-2 win over Villa. I don't know how much you saw of that game, Charlie, but Watford, who were very impressive at home in the Championship last season, looked like they're carrying on that form.
No, and they were one of my picks for the debate to go down. So, you know, it wasn't a positive start with our predictions. But I always look at them and think their physicality. You know, Deeney's, what, 33 now, and I'm not convinced he's going to be playing anywhere close to what he's done in the past. He was always a leader. But it was interesting. I only seen the goals, to be fair. But it was also interesting in the last couple of days that they're still looking to strengthen with another two or three players. When these four managers come in, they just seem to have a habit of working. The system seems to work for them. But if they've got the same strength and physicality of the past Watford teams and Sarr's pace up front, then he will score goals. But he went flat, didn't he, last season? He didn't play as well in the lower levels. But I think if Sarr, who was mentioned and linked to Liverpool and other top clubs before, if he's to really fancy it, then they could be a mid-table team, but it was a good start for them. But still vulnerabilities at the back for me.
Yeah, I think they targeted, if you pardon the pun, Matt Target, and they gave him an absolute torrid time down his flank. And I just thought they were excellent. It was, again, the new kids on the block just coming up. They were out to show everybody what, and Villa weren't up to it. I know they got a couple of goals back in the game. Danny Ings scored very, very late. But, you know, Villa need to get out of it as well. They need to get this. And Dean Smith's quite right. They need to get over the Grealish thing. Stop anybody talking about it. Concentrate on the players who were there. Otherwise, things could get very sticky for them. They've made a lot of changes as well. They've brought in, they've used the money quite well. But we'll see in the near future.
Yeah, obviously they were missing Ollie Watkins as well, who was a big part of their game last season. So it was always going to be a difficult start for them. I was surprised to see Emmanuel Dennis get on the score sheet, I have to say. I watched him a few times last season covering the Bundesliga when he was on loan to Cologne. And honestly, he could not hit a barn door. Some of the chances he had. And I was like, what's this geezer? I watched him last season thinking, oh, poor lad, he's having a bad time. He's low on confidence. And then all of a sudden I see Watford signed Emmanuel Dennis. I was like, that, what? And then all of a sudden, goal on his debut. And you never know, you know, confidence is a massive thing with strikers.
Absolutely. And you look back at some of these unpredictable guys when you come in and we judge them, don't we? People like Igalo. Remember he came in to Watford, we all went, yeah. Where's this guy?
Yeah.
He blitzed it. Yeah. He absolutely blitzed it there at the time. And then he ends up at Man United and struggles for game time.
I think what we saw also over the weekend, obviously there were some good wins for Everton. We'll just gloss that over that a little bit.
Yeah,
and Chelsea had a very comfortable win. Leicester, good win against Wolves. But what I saw over the weekend that impressed me, some of the assists for the goals that went on were absolutely magnificent. And I'm talking about the Leicester goal. I don't know if you saw Pereira's bit of skill on the wing before he sets Vardy up. I just thought that was absolutely magnificent. We talked about Pogba's assist at Man United.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw the Newcastle, the first goal for Callum Wilson when Alan St. Maximum turned Declan Rice one way, turned him another way, turned him again, and whipped in a cross. I just thought there were some magnificent assists this weekend, as well as some good goals. But credit where credit is due, I thought there were some brilliant, brilliant assists.
St. Maximum is still going to be a good watch this season. I must admit, there's some players, and I don't know the players who are playing with him, or he can be so frustrating, but my goodness, can he be exciting? You know, he just, when he gets on one and he turns and you think, oh my goodness, some of those defenders against him, they won't have any cartilages left in the knees. It is just quite something.
It certainly was, certainly was. And I think, obviously, with the it's a good win for Brighton at Burnley after going one down in the game. A very comfortable win, Tomo, for your boys at Norwich. Didn't look in too much trouble at all.
Yeah, but tis... I think it is the same thing, and it was nice because seeing Van Dijk back, I thought him and Joel Matip were absolutely outstanding. And I know you've won 3-0, and people will go, oh yeah, it was great up front and everything. There was some sort of great stuff interchanging of players. But when you've got two players like this at the back who are so confident, they give us a good base to work from. And I thought, barring that first 15 minutes, 20 minutes, which is all the essential part, we come back to the Brentford-Arsenal game, we met them head on. And we were up for it as much as they were. Once the game settled, you could the crowd just started to diminish. That lovely sort of atmosphere and everything, first game of the season. And I really thought all round was a great performance by our boys.
And very good control of the game. I think even with when Norwich did have it, I think you also felt that they were going to kind of worry about trying to play long passes in behind the centre-backs, and they couldn't even get that. They just were frightened completely. I think they just overpowered them in mentality and in ability.
Tactically-wise, I don't know whether you realised, and you had a look at it, last season where Trent didn't have his best season, Andy Robertson also. But what they did, even Tsimikas, who I thought had a great game, barring maybe the last 10 minutes, the starting positions now are like 10 yards further forward, because Van Dijk gets it, and from that left centre-back position, he could play Tsimikas in. He's already halfway in the opposition's half, or Trent was there. Last season, Robbo and Trent are 10 yards further back because of the centre-back situation. It's more like the old Liverpool when we were firing last weekend. And I think it's going to have a massive part to play in our season, which will give us an added advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the Sunday, a couple of entertaining games. The Newcastle-West Ham game we've touched on already with a couple of those decisions. But what did you make of Man City, Charlie, on Sunday?
I thought early stages they looked really good. I thought they were totally dominant. Typical City, they move it well, passed it well. I was a little bit surprised that Grealish started. But the biggest surprise of all is Kevin De Bruyne on the bench. He's sitting, and I know this stuff that we keep talking about, a false nine. And Jesus is just obviously not going to be the guy for number nine. Torres, I think, is also struggling a little bit for that position. So I think what you're getting to with Manchester City, you always seem to think they'll dominate possession, they'll ping you back, they've got loads of options with pace and skill up front. But if you don't get that first goal through that first 20, 25 minutes, gradually teams can write back at you. And I think that proved yet again that Man City must kill you off in 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think fair play to Spurs. I thought they dug in well. They did come under a bit of pressure in that first half. But a cracking result for them first up. And without Harry Kane as well. Were you a bit surprised to not see him, Tomo?
Should we come back to them after the break, Tiz?
We'll have a little break and then we'll talk about Spurs, and then we'll look ahead to this weekend's fixtures over Saturday, Sunday and Monday. Where's Jeff?
Music.
welcome back to part two of Where's Jeff?
Where's Jeff?
We just touched on the Man City Spurs game, and Tomo, Man City, do they need Harry Kane?
Well, listen, whether it's Harry Kane or someone else, tis Charlie, they need somebody, and they proved it. You're looking at those chances, and I know Pep will say, well, we've got another 37 games. But you start going through those games, I know it worked for him, false nines, all that, towards that last third of the season. They need a striker. They need another one. And if it's not going to be Harry Kane, I do think he will probably stay at Tottenham, certainly for this season. Man City needs somebody. So they better get the scouting going. They better look at somebody else because they need it, because they don't trust Jesus. And if it's Sterling or whatever, as I said last week, the only way that I think it will happen if Sterling goes the other way.
Yeah, but I think what we're getting to now, Tomo, because I think with the Harry Kane situation, that we know Levy will dig in his heels for. I think he just wants, if he gets the payment, he'll do it. I don't think he's probably interested in the exchange because the salary that comes the other way. I just see a different scope coming from Man City. Totally agree, especially myself and Tiz. We didn't play number nine, but we appreciate what the number nine does. What would you think then if they had alternatives with the prospect of they could go for someone like Aubameyang? Because it looks as if maybe something's going on wrong at Arsenal at the moment. And what we do know, Aubameyang scores goals. He's got pace, he's got movement. And I think, although I prefer them slightly wide left to come in off the flank, I could see something like that materialise. It gives Manchester City a cheaper option, but still a guy who's not as good as Kane. Could be as good a finisher as Kane.
Well, Charlie, do you know why I don't think it would happen? Aubameyang, when he was on the market, who would be the first manager who would be in for Aubameyang? It'd be Jurgen Klopp. He had him at Dortmund. And I thought, why is that? I don't think he understands the high press, when to press, when not to press, working hard for the team as a front man. Aubameyang doesn't do that. He doesn't know how to do that. And that's why I don't think it would work for them. I still think he's got a lot to prove since he signed that contract for Arsenal. I don't think he's turned up. And I don't know whether his day at Arsenal is done. But I can't see him being that one. I would rather see Lacazette is a better worker than what Aubameyang is. There's something wrong with those two at Arsenal. I know they're saying they've been ill, but I was seeing there was a link with Real Madrid for Aubameyang. But that, we're just digressing now, guys. Sorry about that.
It's not like you, Tomo.
I know, sorry, chaps.
Well, that's last weekend's fixtures covered, and I think we'd all agree it was a pretty entertaining, pretty good weekend for the officials, for VAR, on the whole. And we can look forward to this weekend. And Tomo, the first fixture of next weekend is your boys' lunchtime kickoff against Burnley.
No!
Nice comfortable win for them.
Oh, yeah. That's what we said last year. Remember, it was one of those home games. It should be a home win. But we know this is Burnley. They'll come, roll up the sleeves. Sean Dyche shall have them. But they did damage us at a bad time last season, losing all those home games. Burnley, I think, were the ones who started it. You would never have expected it. I don't expect it this weekend. I think with the guys being back, being able to maybe control the front men, Chris Woods, Ashley Barne, Rodriguez, I would think with Virgil and Joel Matip, we would be able to take care of them. And I do think we will remember what happened last year and it will not happen again. But watch out for Ashley Barnes standing in front of a goalkeeper and there's arm locks.
There'll be no fouls next weekend, Tomo. The precedent has been set for the season.
Absolutely.
You can arm lock a goalkeeper and get away with it.
It's a big one for Burnley as well. You know, they don't want to have two defeats. Going 1-0 up last week against Brighton, they should see it out. They've come unstuck. And they want to try and write it. And they love coming to Anfield, but there'll be a crowd there this time, which helps make decisions, as you well know, guys, at the home of Liverpool Football Club.
So basically, you're admitting that your team got decisions from referees when you didn't deserve them. Is that what you're saying, Tomo?
Me? I've told you all along, Tiz, it's always the big clubs who get the decisions. I have no problems with admitting to that. And it is.
Absolutely. Now, we've got 4 3 o'clock kickoffs. Aston Villa take on Newcastle. That's going to be an interesting one, with both those teams suffering a defeat on the first weekend. How do you see that one going, Charlie?
I think that'll be tight again, Tiz. We've got the usual. We talked about Maximin being such a crowd pleaser for the Geordie fans. Stevie Bruce again will probably be under scrutiny, as he is every game. But Villa have got to make a, you know, they've got to take on more responsibility, I suppose, now that Grealish is gone. I don't separate. I think these two are just dying to put something on the board, if I'm being fair, Tiz. So I would be fancying a score, a 1-1 draw, something like that. If anything, if I was going to go a winner, I would probably go for an away one. I just think Stevie Bruce tends to sneak results when people don't expect it, when he's up against the pressure. But they both need to get on the board, so I'm going to go for 1-1. I can't separate the two.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, mate. I'd agree with that. Crystal Palace and Brentford is going to be a decent game. Obviously, Palace soundly beaten at Chelsea, which wasn't a huge surprise. Coming up against a Brentford team who are going to be full of confidence after Friday's win.
Absolutely, and this is massive, Tiz. I do really believe this is massive game, because if Palace do come unstuck, and I think they will, this is early in the season for Brentford, after the win, as you just said, that they had, I just fear. I'm fancying an away win, because I don't think Vieira, I know they had quite a good pre-season. Did that maybe get to them a little bit? They thought they were better than they really were, but they were up against Chelsea. And Chelsea won so comfortably, it was untrue. But it made me look at them and I thought, you're so far away, this Palace team. They're still sort of getting pieced together by Vieira. And it's a good time for Brentford to be playing them. So, and I know the Palace fans will be back in there and chatting their way for their team. But I fancy Brentford this weekend.
Yeah, I think Palace are going to need those fans.
That this could become when De Boer was a manager and suddenly he was under pressure straight away. And it might be a little bit of pressure that Vieira's taking on here. What do you make, Tiz? What do you make of Leeds Everton? I think this is a cracker.
Obviously, Everton had a bit of a slow start against the Saints on Saturday. First half was pretty good from my team, but the second half they completely ran the show and looked pretty comfortable in the end. We know what happened to Leeds, but I think Leeds at home with a full crowd at Elland Road, wow, I think will be a very different proposition. You can imagine what the atmosphere is going to be like in that stadium. I think it will take a massive performance from Everton to nick all 3 points from this fixture, given the backing that Leeds are going to be having.
Yeah, I agree. Wasn't it funny though, Tiz? He's really played well in that first half, and it was Rafa out on social media. A quarter to four. Rafa out. And then at 5 o'clock, Rafa was king. And give him more money to spend. Let him bring some more players in. Oh, my goodness. The change in the attitudes was just astonishing.
Amazing what a couple of goals can do.
A couple of goals, 45 minutes.
Incredible stuff. And then you've got Man City taking on Norwich.
Wow.
You feel for Norwich, don't you? I mean, when you come up from the Championship, the best you can hope for in the fixtures is give us a couple of fixtures early on where we've got a half-decent chance. And they've come up against Liverpool and Man City in the first two fixtures. Just brutal for them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it is brutal, but This is the one of the weekend where you look at the handicap betting system, don't you? Because Man City must be riling a bit. I know we talk about the lack of number nines, but I don't think Norwich are the type of team who like to park the bus. They're not natural at parking the bus, because in Championship, Tomo says, they scored millions of goals. So as soon as they open up, they'll be broken up. And this could be a 4 or 5 for me.
Yeah, it is. It's... The bear has been poked, guys. The bear has been poked. Man City, their first home game, they'll really be riled with sort of getting beat last week. They wouldn't have wanted anything like that. Questions are already being posed, as we have just done, needing a striker. But they start moving that ball about on that pitch at the Etihad, Norwich won't know what day it is, and they will be flying around them. And I'm with Charlie here. This could get a little bit lineup.
Now, if my memory serves me right, the last time Norwich were in the Premier League, didn't they beat Man City? Obviously, it was at home. But they gave them a bit of a scare, didn't they, at Carrow Road?
3-2 it was, wasn't it? And it was quite a game. But as I remember on that day as well, City missed an absolute bag full of chances. But it's the way Norwich are. But that, as you say, was at Carrow Road.
Yeah, indeed. And the tea time fair on Saturday, we've got Brighton against Watford. Both teams sat on 3 points after impressive victories. What do you make of Brighton, Charlie, and the job that Graham Potter's doing there?
I think he's done a fabulous job, Tez. I think he changed the style of play. Wanted the passing out from the back when we knew that... I mean, I thought he brought Duffy back from an awful loan spell at Celtic where he hardly even get any game time. Never mind making an impression. So he seems to have kept him. He's went and gave himself options at the back because it's a bit of physicality. But he still wants to pass from the back and he has tall players for set pieces. I've always quite liked Mopey. Movement is good. He just doesn't score enough goals. But I suppose teams of this significance in the Premier League don't always have that. But I like the way they play. I think there's still rumour to be trying to or potentially interested in Edouard at Celtic. And you could get that over the line quite soon. I fancy Brighton here. As much as Watford started well last week, I think Brighton are pretty good at dominating the ball when they're at home. So I'm going to go for a Brighton win.
At home, they do tend to dominate the ball, but they tend not to win very many games at home.
But
they draw a hell of a lot of home games. And it's the finishing that does it for them, you know. And the fact that, you know, the top scorers last season, Mopey with 8, Welbeck with 6, tells you everything you need to know. Their play for 3/4 of the pitch is very, very good. And if they could just find somebody who could get them 15 goals a season, I think this Brighton team could challenge quite comfortably for the top half.
Because you looked at the stats last year, Tiz, and the amount of attempts they have at goal, it is absolutely astonishing that they were where they were. They need to try and take the chances. You thought Maupay could do it. He's going to get a decent amount of goals. But this is an intriguing one. And I do think, and I admire Graham Potter because he has those giants there. Duffy was man of the match last week, by the way, guys, after him coming back from Celtic, Charlie. But it's just the way they play. They can't play the three at the back. They get then the wing-backs really, really wide. But then it can change to a 4 very, very quickly. So tactically, I think Potter has been an absolute revelation. And to get the players that he has and to work with them and get a good unit together, if they can score a few more goals, they'll always be nice and comfortable in the Premier League.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, mate. And 3 games on the Sunday. First one, Southampton against Manchester United.
Well...
Nap of the week, end on Sunday.
Get your hard hat on, Tiz.
I don't think I'll take a day off social media on Sunday, I think, just to be on the safe side. I'm not overly confident, given the 2 respective results of last weekend. And it's been a tough start fixture-wise for my team. So I'm in my mind, our season starts next weekend. Anything we get from this weekend would be a bonus, and anything less than 9 would be lovely.
But isn't this the big game that you want sometimes? And it's not for us, it's our first home game. We're going to be very offensive. I think if Arsene Hüttl thinks that he can take on Manchester United this moment, no. Treat it like an away game. Defend deep because Manchester United are becoming the best at counter-attacking. And even if that's against the Saints, they will absolutely rip you to bits. They've seen that array of passing from Fernandes and Pogba. They're getting things quite right. You just need to sit in there and let Manchester... Because when teams... I've seen teams do that. Sit in against Manchester United and defend deep. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. And I think that will give you a chance. I'm only trying to build you up, pal.
Yes, thank you.
I know.
I'm hoping that next.
Working,
I'm hoping when we come next Wednesday when we do this, I will be have a big smile on my face, and we've pulled off the shock result of the weekend. At the same time on Sunday, it's an interesting game as well. The fixture computer has thrown up Wolves' first home game of the season against Spurs, and their former manager coming back. What sort of reception do you think he'll get from the Wolves fans, Tomo?
Do you know something, Tiz? I would really hope that he will get a good reception. They often don't. But it, to me, it was quite an amicable separation from the guys. I don't think it was like a sort of a walkout from Nuno Espirito Santo. And I like the guy. And I think he's been a breath of fresh air for the game. I just think somewhere along the line at Wolves, he lost his way. He got stuck in the three at the back. When he did try to change it, it never worked. And you could see in his demeanour, he'd lost a little bit of faith in the football club as a whole.
I think the Jimenez incident was massive for that
absolutely.
Football club.
Wasn't
last,
it lovely
last
to see him back? Wasn't it lovely to see him back? It was one of the... And I know he's played a few pre-season games, but it was a nice lift to any football fan to see him back on the pitch. But it was massive. And he never sorted that out. And again, Traore does ever so well, but there's just not enough end product either in goals or in assists. Because the number of times the boy gets past that final defender, it just doesn't happen enough for him.
Absolutely. And the highlight of the Sunday fixture list, Arsenal against Chelsea. Big London derby, Charlie. Any chance for your boys?
Well, I can't keep making excuses for them. They've got to go after us. You know, Chelsea can counter-attack. Chelsea can dominate. We've got to have a bit of faith in... What did we take from last weekend? Positives. Tierney looked fit. Smith Rowe gets into nice pockets his face. Don't have a clue, Tiz, and Tomo, what's going on with Aubameyang and Lacazette, whether they're going to come back and be okay or whatever, because... Balogun, who's got a bright future, is too young to step into this role yet. If anything, I would go with Martinelli through the centre of the number 9 position. And they've got to get much, much more out of the two midfield players. Xhaka, how can you be out the door for 17 million going to Roma and then get a new contract? It's unbelievable. Before I start again, and anything I get is a bonus, so I'm probably expecting Chelsea to beat Arsenal.
But Charlie... You're just saying there, Charlie, there's so many sorts of negatives about the Arsenal side. I don't just attitude in players. But we've seen this happen before. And then on the day, at home, I think you need to get off to a decent start that first 15, 20 minutes. Because you know what it's like at the Emirates. They can turn. The fans can turn very quickly. And if Chelsea smell that blood, they will go for you. And you know, Chelsea are going to be a good team this season, and Lukaku likely to play could be very difficult.
Yeah, I think with Lukaku, I don't know, Tiz, if you think he might start, because it sounds as if he's not far off match fitness and maybe that's what his requirement is, but that's a massive signing to bring him back because he's guaranteeing goals.
No, absolutely. I think Chelsea were pretty impressive without him last weekend. You stick him in the team. I think they go up another level as well. I think they look very... I mean, I predicted Chelsea to come fourth this season. But I think I might have been doing them a disservice. I think they could be one of those teams that are going to be a bit closer than that.
Oh, come on, Tiz. You're changing your tune. Of your teams who are going down, you're changing...
I'm not. I will stick...
Week to week, he changes his tune.
I will stick with my decisions. I'm just making an observation on what I've seen so far.
Are we going to have this on Where's Jeff every week? You could be Brighton will be going for a Champions League spot next week.
I'll shut up. Anyway, the last fixture of the weekend on Monday night is an absolute cracker, I think. Two teams that had fantastic seasons last year. West Ham against Leicester, and both teams started with a victory. I think this has got the makings of a very, very good game Monday night.
No, absolutely, Tiz.
I do also. I think this has got goals written all over it. I look at West Ham and I see, well, we see goals. We know what Antonio does, but what David Moyes has been building up, he's improved the defensive setup, Tomo, which you would appreciate. And I actually see West Ham starting to be what he's done with Everton. He's just slowly but surely building it up. Then he's getting goals into the team. I think he's still interested if he could get Lingard, or he'll certainly get another one in. Whereas we know Leicester under Rodgers, a good start, not overly impressive, but good on the ball, good in counter-attack with Vardy's pace and lots of ability. I could see a 2-2 draw here, but I think there's guaranteed goals on Monday.
Oh, no, without a doubt. West Ham, wonderful, isn't it? You looked at the game last week against Newcastle, and last season, I think it was a 3-3 and a 3-2 game. But this West Ham team, but again, they have their way of playing. They are another team who can sit in and sort of defend, two in front of the back four, and then bang, they have that pace and the power of Antonio to stretch teams. I think they're going to have a really good season again. But Leicester, don't count off Leicester. I know they've had a really hard time not getting a Champions League football 2 years on the run, but they're still a good watch. And Pereira being back, fully fit, I thought was one of the best right-backs in the country, and he can play further forward as well. I think this has got the making of a great game. Who would have thought West Ham versus Leicester on a Monday night would have that? I can't wait for it, guys. I think it's going to be a really... And they're both committed as well, both teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I think both managers doing a cracking job there. Leicester, very unfortunate not to have had Champions League football in the last couple of seasons. You know, the job that Brendan's done there has been absolutely tremendous. And to David Moyes, the improvement that he took West Ham from to where they got to sixth last season, I thought was an outstanding achievement. And it looks like these two teams are all on the way for another decent season.
Boys, what do you think all the talk about Maddison? Do you think there's something in it?
I don't. I think there was a touch of interest from Arsenal, wasn't it? They didn't get Ødegaard, but you know, I think his price is probably quite high for current market. No, I think he'll stay put for the moment.
Yeah, I do.
Agree with Charlie on that one.
Yeah, I just thought it was very interesting because, you know, before we get to the end of the transfer window, some big clubs, not mention which North London club, will be looking for that sort of player. And if you ask me, Charlie, Ødegaard or James Maddison, it'll be both of them.
It wouldn't surprise you, given how many defenders they actually need. Interesting stuff. Now, boys, I think we need to go back. You remember when we were on that programme? And every Saturday we'd have a little bet where each one of us would pick a team from the weekend and have a little accumulator. And we used to go 18 months without winning because there was five.
18 months? And the rest.
Now, up and down the country, groups of lads are having their hackers and having one lad pick a team, and one lad each week will let you down. No doubt about it. And normally it was Merce or Jeff, obviously. And... But now it's just the three of us. I reckon we should start again, have a little tenner in each week for a little accumulator, and we all pick one winner from the Premier League fixtures for this weekend. So, Charlie, I'm going to start with you. Who's going to be your selection for this week's... Where's Jeff Acker?
My Where's Jeff bet is for Brighton to beat Watford.
Ooh, decent odds you should get for that as well. That's not too bad, that. I like that. Decent start. Okay. Tomo, what are you going for?
I'm looking for a bit of value as well to my bet. I'm going to go for Manchester City. No, I'm not. I am going to go, guys, for Aston Villa to beat Newcastle.
Ooh, Charlie's not going to be happy with that. He thought Brucey might sneak a little result there. Interesting. Okay, so we've got Brighton. We've got Aston Villa. And my selection for the weekend is going to be Chelsea. Sorry, Charlie. But I really don't see any other result in that football match. I think Chelsea look incredibly strong. If Lukaku does start as well. I think that does take him to another level. So
it should be quite a nice.
I look forward to giving you a seriously tough time in episode 3 of Where's Jet.
See, Charlie, you're more worried about the Acker than the Arsenal. See.
Okay, so I'll give you a little update on the odds. So the odds for Chelsea to beat Arsenal are 3-4. We've got in the Saturday fixtures, Aston Villa to beat Newcastle are 4-5, and Brighton to beat Watford are 8-11. So they're all just a shade of odds on, but with the three of them, they might give us a decent return for our little £30 bet there.
Absolutely, well done, Tiz.
And I'm gonna keep a record of our selections through the season, just as I did back in the day, just to see who is the worst predictor and the man who is costing us the most money this season. Hopefully we'll win every week, and perhaps the punters might start following us as well if we start showing a bit of decent form. But that is going to be an ongoing feature for the rest of the season, and I look forward to giving the stick to whoever lets the Acker down next week.
And
I mean,
listen,
it'll probably be all three of us.
Tiz, if there's anybody out there who's watching Where's Jeff and you fancy asking the boys a bit of a question about the Premier League or maybe something even a little bit different, send it in. Send it in, because I think there is an email account. Is that right, Tiz?
I think there is. And now you're asking me what the email is and I've forgotten.
But we will find out
but,
and we will
but we'll,
put it
we'll
on
get
there.
That. We'll get that. We'll put it online. We'll put it on the Twitter feed. We'll send
get
all
involved.
That information out on social media. Get involved in the Where's Jeff podcast. And we will speak to you again this time next week. Look forward to it, boys. Good to speak to you. Have a great day. I'm off to playing a charity golf day down in Dorset. See you later.
Good stuff.
Where's Jeff?
Charlie? Where's Jeff?